The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
When I started thinking about the Lord's Supper and doing the Lord's Supper, it brought me to the passage in 1 Corinthians. It's in your notes and slide, guys. I'm sorry, man. I'm all over the place today, so just bear with me. But the passage in 1 Corinthians, and it says, "This is what I received from the Lord in the night that he died. That he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to you, saying, 'This is my body, which is broken.'" Okay. Man, gonna be a long service. Sorry. All right, one more time. "This is my body, which is broken." Very good. "Broken for you." Awesome. Now, I struggled with that because I also knew that in John, and like I said, Matt, you don't got to try and follow me, man. I'm all over the place. In John, there makes a point that Jesus' body was never broken. We're going to get there in a second. And so it made me, like, this whole thought process came from, how is his body broken for us when his body was never broken? That's the way my fantastical mind works, is I wonder things that it probably shouldn't wonder. But it got me thinking, and so I started rolling backwards, and I started thinking, okay, well, where does brokenness come in the Bible? And so I started doing like studies and searches of where brokenness came in. And one of the first places I found brokenness was in the story of Jacob. So we're going to start out in the story of Jacob. It's in Genesis chapter 32. And in Genesis chapter 32, it says this: "Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hip of his socket. And Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled him. He said to him, 'Let me go, for day is broken.' And Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What's your name?' And Jacob said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name is longer Jacob. You will be called Israel, for you've striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' So Jacob asked, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why do you ask me your name?' And there he blessed him, and Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, 'I have seen God face to face, and yet I have been delivered.'" Now, when I read through that, and again, that's the quick version and everything else, but what happened to Jacob? Well, most people believe that Jacob's hip got dislocated. I've never dislocated anything. I don't know. I would assume dislocating sounds very painful. Just the process of that, the thought of it would be very, very painful. But essentially what happened? Jacob was broken, right? When you read the last passage there, it says that Jacob walked with a limp for the rest of his life. Y'all have those things? Y'all hear that? Every knuckle broken. So every time I do this, sometimes I get bored and I just do this. Some of y'all are getting sick to your stomach. It's the marks, right? It's the brokenness that has been part of my life, and now it's part of who I am. Anybody got a limp? You got a limp because something broke at some point in time, right? Anybody not be able to, like, throw the ball, the pigskin, quite as far as you used to? Because you got something wrong. It's broken, right? And so what this led me to realize is all of us are broken. Jacob was broken. He bore the brokenness of that wrestling match for the rest of his life. Jacob walked the limp for the rest of his life. And so it led me to understand and to realize that all of us, every single person, was broken. We've all been broken because we've all struggled with God, right? That's what the Bible calls sin, is the idea that brokenness entered the world when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, when they were broken. The relationship with God was broken. And so every single one of us is broken. You're broken. I'm broken. We're all broken people because every single one of us struggles with God. Now, quickly, we're going to move through this. Some of us are broken because of our choices, right? Again, I can do that again, but I'm not going to. You know why everything's broken in this hand? Because I used to have a really bad temper as a high school student, and I found out that punching lockers and cars got me in less trouble than people's faces. So what would I do is I would punch things that were inanimate objects, and therefore I wouldn't get in trouble, but I bore the scars of it, right? Some of us are broken by our own choices. My temper left me with choices, left me with brokenness. Some of you have made choices in life, and we've made choices, and some of those choices have caused a bigger division between us and God. We were born into sin, yes, but we talked about it on Wednesday night in our Bible study. Now we're guilty double. We're guilty on top of it because we've made decisions that continue to push God away from us. And so some of us are broken by our choices. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 9, it says this: "As for the prophets, my heart is broken within me. My bones tremble. I have become as a drunken man, even like a man overcome with wine because of the Lord, because his words are holy, because of his holy words." What happens is Jeremiah hears the words of God. And when he hears the words of God, it causes him to be broken hearted. Because he realizes how far his people are, how far he is from a God who truly loves them and wants a relationship with them. And so my first question before we move on is, church, how broken are you over sin? It's funny because we don't like to talk about that, right? We don't talk about sin. We know we're sinners, but we don't want to talk about sin. And the reason we don't want to talk about sin is because we don't really get upset about sin in our life, do we? We kind of look over and we say, well, yeah, you know, Brother Randy, I'm a sinner, but so is everybody, so it's okay. Man, would you get ready to take this? If that's your attitude this morning, I hope you look really hard at this. Because your sin that's so flippantly in your life, a part of it, is why his body was broken. That's why his blood was shed. It's not a flippant thing. It's not a lighthearted thing. Your sin cost the Savior of the world his very life. It's a big deal. I think a lot of us, we can joke around and we can say, yeah, we're broken people, but we don't really want to acknowledge what that brokenness means and what that cost God. Some of us are broken because of our choices, and the funny thing is we continue to make the same choices that put distance between us and continue to walk in that path of sin. Others of us are broken because of other people. Anybody in here ever been broken by somebody else? We've talked about how it's an imperfect world, and because it's an imperfect world, imperfect people do imperfect things, right? And as a result of that, some of us get broken. Y'all ever been broken by somebody? Man, it hurts. Listen, if I break myself, that's one thing. If somebody else breaks me, that hurts. Psalm 34:18 says this: "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit." Some of y'all are here this morning and you've been broken by somebody. Because somebody else is a broken individual. They've pushed that on your life. And this morning, you're struggling because you're having a hard time ever letting go of that brokenness. Because of what somebody else did to you, you're bearing the scars of that. You're bearing the reminders of that. And so this morning, you come to this service and you sit in here, but really, you're broken. You're incomplete. And here's the bad thing about it. Because all of us are broken, we all feel alone. When you go back and you look at that story of Jacob, it starts out and it says this: Jacob was left alone before he's broken. Isn't that all of our fears? To be broken and alone? We don't think about it. We don't like to, but that's kind of what eats at all of us. And really, not just that, it's the idea that we're broken and therefore nobody wants us, right? Who could want a broken individual? Whether it's your choices or somebody else's choices on your life, the fact that you're broken, and this is, it's funny, it's taught to us all through our life. I was watching Toy Story 2, I think, the other day. Three, I don't know, I watched one with the Toy Stories with the kids. And it's funny, it's the one where Woody gets a rip. Y'all, any Toy Story fans in here? You've seen it, a couple of y'all? Okay. Woody gets a rip. It's number two? Okay. He gets a rip, and he asks this question. This is a kid's movie. I'm broken. Who would want to play with me now? See, it's this fear that resonates in our culture. It resonates in our life. It resonates in all of us. Because we're broken, no one will ever want us. And therefore, we're going to be alone. Because we're broken, because we've sinned, we can never have a relationship with God, which is what we were created to do from the very beginning. And so because we're broken, we're always scared we're going to be broken and alone. Psalms chapter 69, verse 20, reproach has broken my heart and I'm sick. I looked for sympathy, but there was no one to comfort me. No comforters were found. I've been forgotten like one who is dead. I've become like a broken vessel. See, all of us, that's our struggle. That's our fear. We're going to be broken and alone forever. But then there's the good news of the gumball gospel that Jesus came into the world to die on the cross for your sins, for my sins, to restore our brokenness. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says this, "The Spirit is upon me because I have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." That's why Jesus came. Jesus came so that you and I could be restored in our brokenness. And so the reason we're going to take the Lord's Supper today is because our brokenness is restored in Jesus. Because of his death on the cross, because of his burial, and because of his resurrection, you and I now can be restored. Right? But I told you that when this started, it started from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, and it says, "This is my body, take, eat, which is broken for you." Jesus restores our brokenness by being broken himself. He takes our brokenness on him. But then again, I told you that I struggle with that. Because if you look at John chapter 19, John takes special point to point out that his body was never broken. See, in that time when crucifixions happened, they hung on the cross. And if the person was like staying on the cross too long and was still alive, what they would do is the Roman soldiers would come and they would break their legs, thus enabling the person from being able to use their legs to support themselves. And they would suffocate because they couldn't hold themselves up with just the weight of their arms any longer. So the practice was, if a person was lasting too long, they would come and they would break their legs. The thieves on the cross on either side of Jesus had their legs broken, but when they came to Jesus, they stopped for some reason because they realized that this man was already dead. Because he was already dead, they punctured his side. When they punctured his side, they saw blood and water flowing from it, which meant that his heart had essentially exploded inside him. He was dead. No need to break his legs. Now, this all happened so that scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones would be broken. So, I'm confused. Because Jesus restores my brokenness by being broken himself, but yet John tells me that Jesus was never broken. Now, I told you guys that I think the biggest thing is this. The gospel changes our perspective on things. See, because what really happens is this, is Jesus, while his body was never broken, when he says, "My body that is broken for you," what he means is, "I'm taking your brokenness on me and I'm giving you something better in return. I'm making you a part." Now, if I were to, and I don't, let's see if I can find something here. Oh, nope, don't want to do that. I don't know. Tissue, right? Now, if I walk up to you with this, you didn't see me tear it, I just walk up to you with this, what are you going to say? Why do you have that in your hand? That is pointless. Can anybody blow their nose with this?
No.
I got a big old snoz, and I don't think I could blow my nose with this. I might be able to wipe like my eye, but doesn't do anything, does it? It's pointless. It's broken. It's garbage. Just like us. See, what Jesus does is he comes and he says, "Listen, you're not a broken piece. You're a part of something. Now you're a part of the body of Christ. When you take this, it's not that you're broken, it's that your brokenness has been restored. And instead of brokenness, he's made you a part of something. And so you're no longer a broken piece, but now you're a part. Jesus takes our brokenness and instead he restores our brokenness When we take the bread, which is the body, and we eat it, we become part of the body of Christ. As we drink the blood, which is the symbol of his covenant, our brokenness is restored, and now we're part of the body. We're part of him because we have a covenant, a relationship with him. We are no longer broken, but we're pieces of the body of Christ, made whole by our mission. Church, some of y'all are broken. Some of you are let me rephrase that. We're all broken. Some of you are refusing, deciding, desiring to stay broken. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it preached. You've come to services. You've been a part of church. You've done the Lord's Supper. You've done all those things. But the reality is you're still deciding in yourself, I want to stay broken. Because who could love me? And so you refuse the gospel. You refuse the good news. You refuse to accept Jesus to get your penny so you can buy your gumball. Because who could love a broken person? Some of you this morning are broken and you're refusing the gospel. You're trying to earn your salvation. You're trying to do things your way. You're trying to fix things. You're trying to do whatever the case is, but you're refusing the good news that Christ died for you to give you wholeness again. Some of you, you've accepted that gift. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I accepted Jesus. But you're not part of the body. You're still a broken individual piece, floating in life by yourself. And there's a couple ways. Now listen, I'm not saying this is the only way, but sometimes that means joining a church. Sometimes that means being involved in a church. Sometimes that means being on a mission of the church. I'm thoroughly convinced that you can be on mission serving with a church and not be a member there. It's a lot more fun when you're a member because you get to do things together. But the reality is that a lot of us float through life a broken piece on our own, trying to function on our own. And that's never how God intended it to be. This morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're broken. I don't know if you realize it. I don't know if you have made bad choices. I don't know if other people have made bad choices and you're staying in this broken mentality. If you're hurt, if you're upset, if you're whatever, if you're worried about being broken and alone because who could love you? This morning, my challenge is really simple. Just a second when we take this. Realize what you're doing. You are proclaiming, you are declaring, I am part of the body of Christ. I'm no longer a broken piece. I'm no longer broken. I'm no longer on my own. I'm no longer individual. I'm part of something more. I'm part of the body of Christ. And in this, I'm declaring my relationship with God through him. Some of you need to accept that relationship this morning. Some of you need to follow other acts of obedience that God's called you to do. I don't know what it is. We're going to have a hymn of invitation, and I'm going to do this. I don't know if this is how we normally do it or not. I can't remember. I'm going to have a hymn of invitation because I want to give you a chance to decide whatever it is that God's got on your heart. And then when we take the Lord's Supper, it can be as an act of obedience. It can be as an act of thanks, as an act of gratitude, as an act of remembrance of what God's done for you. So Max, if you'll come, I'm going to pray. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. I want to give you a chance to again, if you need to stay in your seat, you stay in your seat and you get things right between you and God. If you need to come to the altar and pray, you come to the altar and pray. You need to come here and sit. You need to go outside and cry. You need to go outside and scream. You need to do whatever you need to do. You need to be obedient to God more than anything else. And my prayer for you is that you will be. And then when we get done, we'll take the Lord's Supper. God, thank you for today, Father. Thank you for this time. God, I thank you for who you are. A God who loved us enough to send your son to be broken for us, his broken creation. God, I have no idea what you want to do in this service. My prayer is that we would be obedient to you during this time now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.